Hey, is this Sean?
This is.
Hey, it's Dan Donegan from Disturbed.
How you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. How's your guys' tour going?
It's going great.
That's awesome, man. Looking forward to seeing you guys next Friday here at the Shrine with Pop Evil. It's going to be a killer show.
Yeah, it's been many years since we've been there, but looking forward to it.
4 years since you guys had started touring again, then you came back, and it was like just, bam, Disturbed's back. Everybody get out to these shows.
Yeah, it's been exciting. I mean, obviously, long overdue for us, so we're excited to be back out on the road and hitting it hard.
That is awesome, man. You guys have done all sorts of cover tunes in the past, Sound of Silence being the most recent one. And I mean, that thing has just taken off. A lot of people saying that, oh yeah, David Draymond was using auto-tune and stuff, but no, he killed it.
It came together so good. We saved it towards the end of the recording process. It's such a great classic song, and we wanted to really take our time with it and make sure that we delivered it properly and hopefully get the respect for it, which thankfully enough, we were even contacted by Paul Simon himself of praising the performance and stuff. At the time when we discussed the direction of it, the first reaction from everybody else was, let's get some syncopated drums and big riff and really do the Disturbed thing to it. In my mind, I'm like, you know what? I don't want the Disturbed thing to be one definition. You know, I wanted to really push ourselves to try something different, to really branch out and still make it, you know, heavy in a different way, in a haunting way, in a dark way.
Right.
You know, so that kind of led to the discussion of, like, those guys kind of trusting my vision musically with it, of saying, you know, let's just go down a different road with it. Let's give David a better music that will be complementary to his vocals and not get in the way. And that would really force David to deliver a performance that's going to make him real vulnerable and just vocally have him go into a register tonality wise, just that hasn't been heard by the fans yet. It just really came together. I think we were all kind of surprised and surpassed our own expectations on that one.
Now, obviously, you guys have done other cover tunes as well, like I mentioned. What do you guys see as far as cover tunes coming out in the future? Like anything like really big that's kind of sticking out, going, man, it'd be really cool if we covered this song.
I don't know. I mean, the Sound of Silence is going to be a tough one to beat now because this thing is just, you know, going through the roof for us. But it's just always been fun for us to do. It doesn't necessarily have to be on every album. I mean, I think we didn't do nothing on the Believe album, and we didn't do nothing on, I think it was Indestructible. I don't think we covered anything on it. I like the challenge of it. Whether it's old 80s pop tune, you know, like Shout that we did, or Landon's Confusion, or anything, you know. So that's why when we Sound of Silence just came about, of like, let's even dig deeper into, you know, the 60s and 70s. Let's dig into something more, a deeper classic, and that's how that came about. But in the future, I don't know. I mean, it's just always fun for us to kind of really push ourselves in that challenge of trying to take those great songs and put our own twist to it, to still pay our respect to the original version, but do enough of it to make it our own as well.
What is your favorite place to eat if you're out on tour?
That's a good one. We're usually big, you know, steak guys, you know, so a really great steakhouse usually is probably my top choice. Me and Mike, our drummer, went out to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Either that, because those are still easy enough to find around a lot of major cities, or just a really good Mexican restaurant. I mean, I could eat Mexican food every day.
I hear you on that one. Unfortunately, I haven't found a good Mexican joint out here in Springfield yet, which is sad because I actually moved out here from Phoenix, Arizona, and tons of Mexican food out there. And I'm out here going, all right, you guys got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe you could start a business out there, be the one to bring it in there. You know,
I actually do have a culinary background, so I could do it.
Last time we were there in Springfield, I found a great Italian restaurant out there. It was just kind of a fluke. We didn't know. We just kind of stumbled across it. I think it was like an old house kind of converted into a restaurant. I don't remember the name of it, but it wasn't too far from the Shrine. It was only a few blocks away. I don't know if it's still there or not, because this was about 5 years ago.
I think so. From what people have told me, I can't remember the name of it either, but somebody mentioned something about that. It's kind of in that downtown, almost historic area, and it is like a house, but it's a restaurant. So
place was amazing.
You've obviously toured with a ton of bands over your guys' career. Do you guys have one that's like a favorite, or maybe one that just kind of really stands out to you and goes, yeah, that was a really cool band to tour with?
You know, we just finished up a run a couple of weeks ago. We had Nonpoint out with us on tour. And those guys, really great friends of ours. They've been at it a long time, too. I mean, I think they came out roughly around the same time we came out during the sickness days. We've done Ozfest together. And they're just such a great live performing band. They're a lot of energy. And these guys just bring it every day. And I love playing with bands like that that really push us to make sure that we step up our game. You know, you can never slack at all. So they always bring the high energy, and you know they work hard. They're out there. Of course, them and bands like Seven Dust as well, too. Those guys are very similar of just bringing that high energy to the shows. So always been a favorite of mine.
Absolutely. I got to see actually both of those guys on a tour together back in, God, I want to say it was 2005, 2006 when I was out in San Diego. I mean, I got to tell you, that was a killer show. It really was.
For sure, man. They're inspirational, you know, to watch their great, great songs, but just that energy really gets the blood flowing. You know, you got to definitely get an adrenaline rush from it.
So what are some things that you're listening to right now that's kind of like, yeah, this is kind of a cool thing right now, like, you know, on your iPod or whatever, like what's some music that's kind of really speaking to you?
To be honest, we've been so wrapped up in the tour out here that I haven't had a whole lot of time to just kick back and listen to much other music at the moment, other than the bands that we're out here touring with. We've done a couple festivals already in Florida, you know, so there were a few different bands that I haven't seen yet, and then, you know, now with Rob Zombie and Pop Evil out, 6 a.m. was on a couple shows with us as well. Just seeing bands live again has been exciting, so I haven't really been able to find the time really to kick back with an iPod or anything, because our whole day is kind of consumed with the touring world right now.
Do you have any cool tour stories that you want to share, like stuff that most fans obviously don't get to know about but might be either really crazy or really funny, just anything that might be like, wow, that's kind of a cool story?
I mean, there's been a lot of great things over the years. I look back and I look at like the documentary that we put out, Decade of Disturbed, and I forget about a lot of those great times because we pretty much documented our whole career. We travel with a videographer on the road with us full time, try to put up new clips every day and that. There's been so many amazing moments. So the one that definitely always stands up is a highlight in our career, I think, is back in 2008, playing in Kuwait for the troops, flying in there to spend a few days with them. And then when it was showtime, I mean, it was obviously a mixed lineup of artists. It was like the Pussycat Dolls and Jessica Simpson. And we're, so we're kind of representing the rock world of things. And it was kind of just cool to look out in the audience and see all these soldiers, you know, strapped with rifles on their backs and Hummers off to the side of them, climbing, sitting on top of them and watching the show. Just a very powerful moment for us. And it was cool that interact with them, sleep in the barracks and eat with them, talk with them, do some exercise with them, simulated rollover in a Hummer and stuff like that. So those were some really amazing moments. You know, I like those opportunities, those perks to kind of get close with our military men and women and share some stories and have the a little bit of a taste of what they're going through. That's always a big highlight for us, though.
So what are you guys thinking for the next Disturbed single? Do you think there's another one coming out from Immortalized, or are you guys going to kind of call it quits with The Sound of Silence and then wait for the next album?
No, there'll definitely be another one. Right now with The Sound of Silence going so well for us, and it's just kind of worldwide taking off in quite a few other countries as well. I'm not sure when that fourth single will come, but we plan on touring quite a bit this year. We're going to tour the rest of this year for sure, and maybe a little bit into next year. So we definitely have time to put out another single and continue grinding away on the road.
So let's kind of jump ship real quick from Disturbed. Let's go to your side project, Fight or Flight. You guys still doing that?
I would never rule it out, but right now Disturbed, you know, consumes all of our time. We're 100% focused and determined to do what we do with Disturbed. If there's ever a break, I don't know if the Love would be taking a 4 or 5 year break again, but I think if there's ever enough time off and I'm sitting at home and I have the itch and the urge to write material for that and the timing's right, then there's always that possibility. But right now, you know, we want to stay all focused with Disturbed.
Do you guys have like a song that you guys just kind of look at each other and go, yeah, we love playing this song on stage? It really fires people up.
It's just such a rush. I mean, the thing I love, and I said this the other day too, because a fan came up to me and he told me one of his, you know, favorite songs, and I like hearing a different answer from everybody. I like to know that the fans have a different connection with multiple tracks and not just the obvious or the single or whatever. So it's been amazing and overwhelming on the reaction we've been getting from everything. Now, from the point of playing Sound of Silence live, it's just a nice change in the set, you know, to kind of bring in a different vibe and do that. So there's always a big reaction to that. But still to this day, I got to say, even down with the sickness, you would think that we'd be sick of it by now.
Right.
From a song that we wrote probably 18 years ago, you would think, like, do I really want to play this song anymore? And to be honest with you, I look forward to playing it at every show because the reaction the crowd gets the second they hear the drums open up that song, it's just such a high for us. It just kind of always puts new life into it for me because I feel that energy from the crowd the second that crowd hears that beat. And it makes it enjoyable to play after all these years.
So is there anything we can expect at this show that might be different from Disturbed shows in the past?
Lately, we've been trying to make a more conscious effort to either call an audible in the set and not always be totally married to the set list. Night after night in the past, a lot of reasons why is production reasons and that too. We want to have our crew and everybody kind of on autopilot on what to expect and what we're doing so that they know what's happening in the performance. There are certain lighting cues or pyro cues and stuff like that when we're carrying production like that. But as far as the set, sometimes now we want to kind of dig into the catalog a bit and play some tracks that we haven't played in years. And some of them we've never played before since we've recorded them.
Oh, wow.
So it's been fun for us to kind of dig in there, even a couple B-side songs that we've never played with John before. I think a month or two ago we played A Welcome Burden, which was a B-side from the Sickness days that we wrote probably in 1997, something like that, that we wrote. And we've never played that with John. And then we just decided one day, hey, John, go in the dressing room and learn the song because we want to play it tonight. You know, so it's been kind of cool because it makes us kind of go back and have to listen and relearn these songs and these riffs and kind of, you know, just appreciate what they were at that time that we wrote them. It's cool to kind of go back into the catalog and dig for something we haven't done.
Obviously, anything you can do to make that live show, even just a hair different than the other ones, people can go, oh, yeah. They didn't do that last time. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, we were mixing it quite a bit. You know, now that we have so many songs, we probably have over 100 songs. So we got to kind of, you know, mix them up a bit for the fans.
So how many cover tunes will we expect to hear other than the Sound of Silence during the show?
We've kind of having a little fun with a medley of covers that we've been doing lately that's been going over really well with the fans. And just to have a little bit more of those fun moments in the show and to really have moments to give the crowd a chance to participate. You know, it's not just us up there going through the motion of playing the songs. We want to not only play our hits, but play a couple other hits and have fun with it so the crowd could get involved.
What's it like touring with Pop Evil?
They're great. I mean, we've only done a couple shows with them so far. I haven't met all the guys yet. I've met the drummer and the bass player and one of the guitar players in the band. And I thought they sounded awesome. I thought they were really tight, great players. And you know, they have a lot of radio hits. When I hear them, I'm like, yep, know that song, know that song, know that song. Yeah, they're good, man. Very strong vocalist.
Do you guys usually do like after party type things? Like, when you're done with the show, do you guys just go back to the bus and chill, or do you like to go out in the town and see what's what?
Well, me personally, I usually like to tear it up quite a bit.
Nice.
It depends on like where we have to be the next day and how long the drive we have ahead of us. Usually we'll unwind a bit, me and Mike, or sometimes even John will join us. So, you know, David kind of has to chill and take it easy because he's got to rest his voice, you know. That's kind of what comes with the territory. You know, when you're performing 4 or 5 nights a week, you got to take care of yourself, so you can't really... He can't really partake in the debauchery at times.
Well, there's some cool places nearby the Shrine for after-party stuff.
We definitely look forward to seeing you guys Friday with Pop Evil at the Shrine. Thanks again for calling in, man. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, brother.